this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. My cup runneth over with football news on Monday's show. We have a new MLS Cup champion here in the USA. The FIFA Arab Cup semifinals in Qatar will have a North African flavor. We have reaction to four-time African Footballer of the Year Samuel Eto'o being elected president of Cameroon's Football Federation, plus lots more. Ready to kick things off is Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. New York City FC secured their first ever MLS Cup title after stunning the Portland Timbers 4-2 on post-match penalty kicks in Saturday's MLS Cup final match played at the Providence Park in Portland, Oregon. The match finished in a 1-1 draw in regulation and extra time after Portland's Felipe Mora scored a dramatic late equalizer, cancelling out a first half opener from New York City FC forward and Golden Boot winner Valentin Tati Castellanos. New York City goalkeeper Sean Johnson earned the MLS Cup MVP award after stopping a pair of Portland penalties. The 32-year-old captain was finally able to lift the championship trophy after posting 9 clean sheets during the regular season and after spending more than a decade in Major League Soccer. NYC coach Ronnie Dellia was left in tears after the dramatic shootout and celebrated his team's victory by stripping down to his underwear on the pitch and doing push-ups in front of the jubilant crowd before hoisting the trophy up in the air. And in other news, the FIFA Arab Cup Qatar 2021 semi-final match saw the Desert Foxes of Algeria qualify for the semi-final after cruising to a 5-3 victory on post-match penalties against the Atlas Lions of Morocco in a match that was played at the Al Thamama Stadium. The match finished in a 2-2 draw in regular and extra time. French-born Algerian footballer Yassine Brahimi put Algeria in front from the penalty spot, but Mohamed Nahiri leveled the game for Morocco in the second half. Mohamed Bilali scored in extra time, but Badi Benoun equalized for Morocco in the 111th minute. Algeria will take on Qatar, who stormed into the semi-finals after sealing a 5-0 win against the United Arab Emirates in a Gulf derby played in front of a capacity crowd at the Al Bayt Stadium. Sefadin Jaziri and Yusuf Msakni ensured the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia booked their place in the semi-finals after seeing off Oman 2-1 at the Education City Stadium in Al Rayyan, and will next face the Pharaohs of Egypt, who secured a 3-1 win against Jordan, courtesy of goals from Marwan Hamdi, Ahmed Rifat and Marwan Daoud. Moving on to the English Premier League, Egyptian sensation Mo Salah scored the only goal of the match from the penalty spot to help Liverpool claim a 1-0 victory against Aston Villa, whose current coach Steven Gerrard made his first return to Anfield since leaving as a player in 2015. Here's Gerrard's take on the match on his emotional return to Anfield.
There was a level in it. I thought Liverpool were better in terms of general play, and you know, their style certainly was better than ours. But we've stayed in the game. We've done ever so well to contain Liverpool for large periods. We've defended our penalty box extremely well, and ultimately the game's being decided by a penalty. But for me, there was 2 penalty incidents in the game. Liverpool got theirs, we didn't get ours. And if you look at it closely, Salah fouls Tyrone Mings first. So we feel harsh. It's harsh on us from that point of view, but there was certainly a level between the teams from penalty box to penalty box.
The Reds are now second in the table with 37 points. And their boss, Jürgen Klopp, had nothing but praise for his squad.
Well, 75 minutes were outstanding. We played an outstanding football, clear, better side, played in all their
the areas we had to play, came through, passed through, created moments, not no-brainers or what these kind of things, but we were played outstandingly well, to be honest. Go 1-0 up, and then the game opens up, let me say it like this. They changed a little bit, but we changed too much. We lost the rhythm, and that's the problem in football. If you lose the rhythm, it's difficult to get it back, so you better hold it from the beginning.
Liverpool are just a point behind leaders Manchester City. Overcame 10-man Wolves thanks to English striker of Jamaican descent Raheem Sterling's second-half penalty in a match that was played at the Etihad Stadium. City manager Pep Guardiola said his team deserved their victory.
We're better than 11 players. We were better with 10 players. And of course, 1-0, everything can happen. One corner, you know, the save from Eddie can happen. But in 90 minutes, we were better. It's difficult because they are a master to defend really well, really deep, with a shape of 5-3-2, waiting, attack the channels with Traoré. The two strikers drop so close with the three in the middle, just allowed to go outside. They defend eight players in the box, so it's difficult. Let's be patient. It's not conceded. We didn't concede except 94 minutes, one chance. So last 10 games, lost just two. Today is the third, and the result always is 0-0, 1-0, 0-1. It's because they defend really well, and that's why it's an incredible victory for us.
There was Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola after his side's victory in the Premier League clash against Wolves. Goals from Alexandre Lacazette, Martin Odegaard and Gabriel were enough to ensure Arsenal registered a 3-0 Premier League win against Southampton of the Emirates. The Gunners are now 6th, just 2 points off the top 4, while Burnley are currently 18th in the Premier League table. Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta dropped Gabon captain Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang from the match squad due to quote-unquote disciplinary reasons, with French striker Alexandre Lacazette starting up front. Here's Arteta's take on the match.
It was an early start. In the first 15 minutes, you could tell that we made a few mistakes and we didn't have any control of the game. After the goal, after a really good goal, I must say, the first one, we started to pick up the game. We were much more aggressive with our decision-making attack. Our counter-press was good. Scored the second, the third, have some really, really strong spells. So, in general, very, very happy with the performance and the results.
Five-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo scored a second-half penalty to give Ralf Rangnick's Manchester United a 1-0 win against the stubborn Norwich side in a match that was played at the Old Trafford. The win ensured the Red Devils moved up to 5th place in the standings and 27 points from 16 games. Here's Rangnick's thoughts on the match.
It was a very intense game, very physical. I think they played well. They didn't play like a bottom team, to be honest. We had some problems in the first 10-15 minutes. And then from then on, we controlled the game, but we didn't always find the best possible solutions. Defensively, we did well. Tactically, also in the first half, we didn't allow them to have too many shots on goal and chances. So 0-0 at halftime, I told the boys we need to increase speed and intensity in the game. Second half was a little bit better, but at the end, we were also lucky to have a clean sheet and two or three great saves by David De Gea. But at least we've got the 3 points, another clean sheet, but still a lot of work to do. In the second half, I was not at all happy with the high amount of corners that we gave away. So anyway, we hope we've got the 3 points, and this is most important.
There was Manchester United's boss Ralf Rangnick speaking in the media after his side secured a narrow victory against bottom place Norwich City. Italian playmaker Jorginho scored 2 penalties to help Chelsea beat Leeds United 3-2 at Stamford Bridge. Brazilian winger Rafinha scored a first-half penalty to give the Peacocks an early lead, but an English midfielder Mason Mount's try cancelled the lead. Jorginho's spot kick later changed the tide to make it 2-1, but Joe Gilhart had other plans, striking later on to bring the sides level, with Jorginho's late penalty sealing the deal for the Blues. Here's Chelsea boss Thomas Tuchel's reaction to the win.
It was a nice game of football, I have to say. Very intense match. I'm very happy how we played and the quality and the effort. I think we deserve to win, but of course it's lucky if you have a late goal in extra time. But coming back twice today from equalizer and going down, it's very impressive. I'm very happy that we turned things around. It was tough work, but we didn't expect anything else.
Tottenham Hotspur had their Sunday's game against Brighton and Hove Albion called off due to several COVID-19 cases reported at the London club. After 8 players and 5 members of staff returned positive coronavirus tests earlier last week. Moving on to the French League, French star of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe scored a brace to inspire PSG to a 2-0 win against Monaco to keep their pace towards the French League title. Mbappe secured his first goal through a penalty in the 12th minute and sealed the win for the Parisians in the 45th minute. PSG now leads the French League standings with 45 points, while Monaco are currently 8th with 26 points. Marseille jumped to 2nd in the French League thanks to goals by Senegalese footballer Bamba Dieng and Douche Kerr, which gave them a 2-0 victory at Strasbourg. Reigning champions Lille secured a 0-0 draw in a hard-fought match against Olympique Lyon, while Nice moved within a point of third-place Rennes after beating them 2-1, courtesy of goals by Kasper Dolberg and Algerian footballer Youssef Attal. Rennes now have 31 points from 18 games, while Nice is currently in fourth place on 30 points. And finally, goals from French striker of Algerian descent Karim Benzema and Marco Asensio fired Real Madrid to a 2-0 derby victory against rivals Atletico Madrid. Sevilla also secured a 1-0 win against Athletic Club at San Mamés, thanks to a long-range strike by Thomas Delaney, while Barcelona conceded a late equalizer to secure a 2-2 draw to Osasuna. Nicolas Gonzalez and Moroccan wing Abdessamad Ezzalzouli both scored for 8th place Barcelona, but the hosts twice came from behind with David Garcia and Ezequiel Avila ensuring Osasuna claimed a deserved point. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta.
Thanks, Prince. Yes, indeed. Prince Nesta knows a football fiesta. 4-time African Footballer of the Year Samuel Eto'o was elected president of Cameroon's Football Federation over the weekend. Now, Eto'o's election comes with Cameroon preparing to host the Africa Cup of Nations tournament in 27 days. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the chief football writer at ACLSports.com in Nigeria, Fisayo Dairo.
It's a fantastic piece of news, and a cheering one at that for African football lovers, and especially for those that genuinely crave for a quiet and bloodless revolution in African football. Our administration of football in the continent has been marred by all complaints of corruption, mismanagement, high-handedness and lack of foresight by the administrators. And I think FECAFOOT are not exempted from some of these malaise. So to have a young gun in Samuel Eto'o Fields, who not quite long ago retired from football, and at just at age of 40, assuming office as the president, is a really, really encouraging piece of news. And we do hope that it will bring about a change for Cameroonian football. Cameroon, when players like Samuel Eto'o, Rigobert Song, Patrick Mboma were playing for the Indomitable Lions, they were truly indomitable in Africa in the year 2000 to 2002, winning even the Olympics in Sydney, Australia, and the likes. Now, Cameroonians have not had it as good as that, even missing the last World Cup, losing out to neighbors Nigeria during the qualifiers. But having Samuel Eto'o Fields back as the president, they hope that he'll be able to bring his experience, which he has gathered during his playing career, which spanned across the major European footballing nations, England, Spain, and Italy. So it's really, really a cheering piece of news, and we do hope that the Cameroonian football fans will really, really get what they deserve with Samuel Eto'o coming on board.
Eto'o joins former Zambian international Kalusha Bwala as former players who were elected president of their country's football federation. Do you think more ex-internationals will join the race?
administration of football is one area where footballers always like to explore after calling it quits with the rounder again. Many of them take into coaching, some of them into agency work, some into punditry, and of course, quite a lot also into administration. And I'm so confident that, yes, quite a lot of them will still always go after administrating the football, because year after year, there seem to be this crave that things have to be better. Right from time immemorial, people want things to be done better. And these footballers are not exempted, especially when it comes to Africa. A lot of them have played in the so-called sinner climes of Europe, in Germany, in Spain, in Italy, in England, in France. So it could be painful when they come back home to Africa and they are seeing that their people still live in the Stone Ages. So a number of them have tried. Yes, Kalusha Buwaya was president of the Zambian Federation. Chegu Odegbami won the AFCON for Nigeria in 1980. He has tried times without number. I'm sure he will have totally jettisoned that idea. But again, I think that quite a number of them will still want to go in the future, and the success of Samuel Eto'o will surely encourage a lot more. Didier Drogba missed out narrowly from Ivory Coast, and these are some of the players with Drogba and Eto'o that ruled African football in their generation. I'm sure Drogba will be encouraged by this and want to make another move the next time the Ivorian election comes into play. It's going to be same across Africa, and once again, Eto'o's feat will really, really serve as a motivation to the rest.
Do you see Samuel Eto'o bringing positive ideas and running FECAFOOT?
Samuel Eto'o Fields was a loved footballer, as much as Ivorian Didier Drogba. So from Spain to England, even to Nigeria, he was a very fine footballer, which means he has the goodwill of millions of African football lovers behind him. Now he has to bring about a change. The Cameroonian Football Federation, FECAFOOT, have been nothing to write home about in the past 4 years or so. Now Samuel Eto'o Fields have to bring about a change. He has garnered all the requisite experience from his playing career. Now he has to walk the talk. He has to show the rest that truly footballers are not just good at playing it alone. They can make it. They can be successful as administrators. And it will take only someone like Samuel Eto'o Fields to show the way. He was perhaps one of the finest footballers I've seen from the African continent. So he has to justify that as well, in being one of the finest football administrators that has ever come out of Cameroon, perhaps after Issa Hayatou, by the time we have the debate in the next 10 years. And the good thing for Eto'o is that if he does well as the FECAFOOT president, the sky will be his limit. There are other options. He could go into CAF, he could go into FIFA, and systematically bring about the change that the global football spectators or global fans so much desire and crave for.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com in Nigeria. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, Samson Omale will have more African football news for us.
Nigerian Football Federation has terminated the contract of Super Eagles coach Gernot Rohr and appointed X international Augustine Iguavoen, currently its technical director, as the technical advisor on an interim basis. A statement by the NFF on Sunday said the decision to terminate the relationship with the Franco-German was reached after a virtual meeting of the NFF executive committee. I spoke to some sports journalists on what they make of this move by the NFF to sack Gernot Rohr before the commencement of AFCON 2021 in Cameroon.
Samson, I think the Nigeria Football Federation has taken the right decision. As a matter of fact, this decision should have been taken earlier than now. It's long overdue. The fact remains that the Super Eagles has no direction. They have no style, and they have no sense of purpose. Nobody can tell you the kind of identity that the Nigerian national team has.
The Nations Cup is some weeks away. If you knew that you have it in mind to relieve Genotro of his appointment, I don't see the sense in not making a proper plan in the on the other hand.
I don't see what impact Gouvon will make. I don't even believe in his technical competence. I think this action is quite unnecessary given the timing. It's too little too late as far as I'm concerned.
Cameroon coach Antonio Conceicao has named a provisional squad for next month's Total African Cup of Nations Cameroon 2021. Conceicao released the 40-man list on Friday, officially launching the indomitable Lions' quest for his sixth crown on home soil. Elsewhere, Gabon's coach Tom Sinfeld announced his provisional 40-man squad to begin preparations towards next month's African Cup of Nations Cameroon 2021. The Belgian will trim his squad to 28 players before the start of the tournament on the 9th of January 2022 in Cameroon. Staying with football news, Congo Football Association, FECOFOOT, has withdrawn their national team from FIFA Under-20 Women's World Cup qualifiers. After Nigeria's 4-0 victory against Congo in Brazzaville, the return leg was scheduled for the 17th of December 2021 in Lagos. In a correspondence to CAF, FECOFOOT expressed the inability of Congo to take part in the next match due to travel challenges. Therefore, the match is cancelled and Nigeria automatically qualified for the next round.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale.
Hi, my name is Julius Diego, former world javelin champion and Olympic silver medalist. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll review Africa's most important stories and memorable moments of 2021 and the major events that made headlines across the continent and around the world. Was 2021 a year to remember or one we would rather forget? Join me, Heidi Adams, for a look at Africa, the year in review, on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Thanks, Heidi. In auto racing, Dutch driver Max Verstappen powered past Lewis Hamilton in the final lap of Sunday's Abu Dhabi Grand Prix to win his first Formula One title. Verstappen's dramatic and controversial victory in the United Arab Emirates denied Hamilton a record 8th World Drivers' Championship. Now, Hamilton led most of the 58-lap race in his Mercedes, but after the safety car came out following a crash, race director Michael Massey decided to allow lapped cars to overtake the safety car on the restart. That helped Verstappen and his Red Bull Honda team. Verstappen was in second place, but was several cars behind Hamilton because he had made a pit stop. Verstappen was running on fresh tires after his pit stop and pulled ahead of Hamilton, whose hard tires had not been changed since the 14th lap. Verstappen had this to say during the trophy presentation.
It's unbelievable. I mean, throughout the whole race, I kept fighting. And then, of course, that opportunity in the last lap, it's incredible. I'm still having a cramp, but it's insane.
Meanwhile, Lewis Hamilton's Mercedes team filed 2 protests after the race, but both were rejected. And Verstappen's first F1 championship was official, although Mercedes said it planned to appeal. Hamilton was on the podium with Verstappen after the race and offered congratulations.
Firstly, a big congratulations to Max and to his team. I think we did an amazing job this year. My team, everyone back at the factory, all the men and women we have, and here worked so hard of this whole year. It's been the most difficult of seasons, and I'm so proud of them, so grateful to be a part of the journey with them. And we gave it everything. This last part of the season, we gave it absolutely everything, and we never gave up, and that's the most important thing.
The Sunny Side of Sports remembers Al Unser, who won the Indianapolis 500 auto race 4 times. Unser was a member of one of auto racing's most famous families. He died December 9th at his home in New Mexico at the age of 82. The Indianapolis Motor Speedway announced his death. Al Unser had been treated for cancer for 17 years. He was the younger brother of fellow racing drivers Jerry and Bobby Unser, and the father of Al Unser Jr. He grew up in a New Mexico family that had been racing cars and motorcycles since early in the 20th century. Al Unser went on to become one of the most dominant drivers of his generation. He's one of only four drivers to win the Indy 500, America's premier auto race, four times. Announcing his retirement from racing in 1994, Al Unser said he could no longer give his all to racing.
I guess I can say this. If you've never put up 100% in whatever you've done, in racing you have to put up 100% driving, which I have. And I've reached that 100% many, many times, so I know the difference when I do not.
In 2011, Al Unser said there's nothing like winning the Indianapolis 500.
It's just a great feeling to be able to respect a place like we all do and then be able to win it. You know, it's something that is just unbelievable of pulling into the victory circle, because that day you have beaten the very best there is.
That's four-time Indianapolis 500 auto racing champion Al Unser, who died December 9th at the age of 82. Just ahead, the AP's Gethin Coolbaugh will have a package of American sports news for us.
Another day, another milestone for Tom Brady in the Buccaneers' thriller against the Bills. Tom Akins reports.
Tampa Bay came up with the game's biggest play in overtime to defeat Buffalo 33-27. Brady hit Rashad Perriman for a 58-yard touchdown pass to grab the win. It was the 700th touchdown pass in Brady's regular season and postseason career.
It's just amazing to have so many people share in all those great accomplishments that, obviously, to me, I feel like they're all team awards.
Elsewhere in the NFL, the Broncos honor the memory of late wide receiver Demaryius Thomas with tributes, decals, and a 38-10 win over the Lions. Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson suffered a right ankle sprain in Baltimore's 24-22 loss to the rival Browns. Jimmy Garoppolo's 12-yard touchdown pass to Brandon Ayuk lifted the 49ers over the Bengals 26-23 in OT.
It was a calm feeling on the sideline. You could kind of feel the presence of everyone, and everyone was, you know, ready for that moment.
The Cowboys held off Washington 27-20. The Chiefs flattened the Raiders 48-9, and the Packers brushed off the Bears 45-30. Other Sunday winners included the Titans, Saints, Falcons, Seahawks, and Chargers. In the NBA, Kevin Durant exploded for 51 points on 16 of 31 shooting and added 9 assists and 7 rebounds in the Nets' 116-104 win over the Pistons.
That's a lot of shots to get up throughout a host. The average 30 field goals for a season, that's a lot of shots. And I want to be able to do everything, not just focus on offense.
That's Brooklyn Nets basketball star Kevin Durant. And thanks to Gethin Coolbaugh for that report. Elsewhere around the NBA, the defending champion Milwaukee Bucks scored a 15-point road victory against the New York Knicks. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
The Bucks had 7 players score in double figures during a 112-97 round of the Knicks. Chris Middleton led Milwaukee with 24 points, and Giannis Antetokounmpo had his first triple-double of the season, finishing with 20 points, 11 assists, and 10 rebounds. Bobby Portis chipped in 19 points as the Bucks won for the 10th time in 12 games.
We're just trying to get better as a team each and every day, strive to get better. Play unselfishly, swing the basketball, play as a group, build our defense, build good habits. Each and every day is just about getting better for us.
One bright spot for the Knicks was Quentin Grimes, who scored 27 points in his first NBA start. Grimes set a team rookie record by hitting 7 three-pointers.
Those are the defending champs. It wasn't like we came in playing one of the lower seeded teams in the East. We came against a defending champ, so I feel like I kind of learned a lot more about myself going against the defending champ, and the flights you got to keep on improving.
Derrick Rose and Kevin Knox each scored 18 for New York, losers in 7 of its last 10. I'm Dave Ferry.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
And And that wraps up the December 13th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports. I get it.